certified financial planner, Dave Petzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petzo.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Money Matters. It's going to be a little bit different. This is a little different. I'm going to actually talk with my pastor today, Paul Hatfield. He's the pastor of The Pursuit, and which is, of course, a very large church here in the Valley, a growing church, and one that he and his wife planted a little over 10 years ago. We'll get the firm details here in a moment. But you might be wondering why. Why would we be talking to a pastor on a money show? And the answer is he wrote a book, The Generosity Revolution. And I've talked about this for years and years and years, and honestly, I don't know why I haven't had him on here before. Because money is so incredibly important. It is part of our spiritual existence. It's part of our secular existence. It's both. It's mixed. It's important to people. I don't care if you're involved in any religion or you're agnostic. It makes no difference whatsoever. Money is important, critically important. And also, I think particularly for those that are spiritually, feel spiritual about what they're trying to do, their walk, if you will, in this world. Because I think most people get money wrong. The Bible spends an extraordinary amount of time talking about money and how important it is. So it's not a new concept. We think today this is new. That there's, you know, if there weren't credit cards, people would get money right. But when Jesus was walking the earth, they didn't get right either. It's an incredibly big human problem on both sides. People are greedy. They hoard money. People don't go to work. People don't ever save. They don't take care of their families on the other side. So it's a big balancing act. It's very, very important. It's the number one reason couples fight is about money. Really? It's a big deal. But we always deal with it in a secular way. Well, Paul Hatfield dealt with it both in a secular and made a nice blend. It's called The Generosity Revolution, his book. It's good. It's a good dive into how we are affected by money and how to change that dynamic. So we'll get to that in a moment. But I wanted to, we'll get to Paul in a moment and we'll talk a little more deeply about it. You see, when we stop and we think about this, and we think about, in a spiritual way, churches, you know, when churches talk about money, what do we know they're doing? They're saying, we need more money. Give us more money. But it's really deeper than that. It's how we are affected by money, how we deal with money day to day. And it is an incredibly, as I said earlier, incredibly important point to our secular existence. What we do with money. How we teach our kids. I deal with it every day. I see it have every day, day in and day out for 35 years. How people get money right, how some people get money wrong. And how muddied the waters are within families. And I think really how the wires get crossed, not just with advertising because everybody's out, you know, thinking they have to have the neatest, coolest gadgets today, but how people misunderstand giving, being generous, and how it changes our entire spirit. And I don't just mean in a religious sense. Giving is something, being generous is something that humans don't just feel good about. It changes who they are. Money is an important topic. We need to get it right. That doesn't just mean do we save the first 10% or 20%, that we have the right 401ks. It's do we have the right balance of money in our life. So I've talked about it a lot. I've been wanting to talk to Paul about it, about his book, and finally we're going to get to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take a break right now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Paul Hatfield about his book, The Generosity Revolution, and about what his perception is in going through it. Because when you write a book, you know what? When you write a book, this is focused energy. I mean, there is some deep, deep learning going on. You're just really focused on one topic. There's insight. I love people that write books. It just takes such focus and such energy in one particular area. I always want to talk to authors about what it is they learned, because they all have insight, all of them, because it's such a deep focus that you have to have for such a long period of time. So anyway, let's go ahead and I want to save the time for Paul. So we're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Paul Hatfield about money.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo. This is a special recorded program. Special for me. It's something, as I mentioned in the first segment, that I wanted to do for a while. And I know for people it's one of those things where you look at it and you go, well, why would we be talking to a pastor about money, Dave? We tune in to find out about the markets and what's going on. But, you know, we have always talked on this program about, if you will, a higher level look at things. And I don't mean that from a, you know, we're the really smart people and everybody else, but if you, is dumb. But there's plenty of programs out there that are talking about what you should buy and sell and trading strategies and nonsensical things. And as you know, we like to try to talk about things. How does money affect us? Why are we so fearful in a world of such abundance? I mean, questions like that are very important to how we manage money, how we think about money, and whether you invest appropriately and you invest in your time and energy. And besides, as I mentioned before, people that write books, that's some pretty focused energy right there. So I think there's some insight to gain regardless from people who write books. And with that, I want to introduce Paul Hatfield, who is a pastor of The Pursuit, my pastor over at The Pursuit, and which is an extremely vibrant church here in the Valley. It has two campuses now, right, Paul?
Yes, sir.
Bogus Basin as well as out in Eagle?
Yes.
Congratulations. You and your bride came up here from California when?
It was the end of 2003 we arrived to start The Pursuit. So.
And how many people? There's got to be 1,000 people in The Pursuit.
Yeah, typical between the two services or the two campuses, about 1,600-1,700 people per Sunday that we have.
Per Sunday.
Kids and adults, we count everybody, so everybody matters.
Everybody counts, don't they? Yeah,
that's
okay.
Right.
That's quite a few people on a Sunday, so you must have people rotating in and out, 2,000 to 3,000. Does that kind of equate to
somewhere
that?
We'd guess about 2,200, 2,300 that would say, yeah, I regularly go to The Pursuit, and then, of course, many others that show up every once in a while, we'll take them whenever they come.
So. That's good. Well, let's start with why. Your book is called The Generosity Revolution, and it's an intriguing title. And, of course, I've heard you speak on this before you wrote the book. It's something that's been in your heart for a long time.
Yes.
What, though, prompted you to say, I'm going to write a money book?
That's a great question. You know, it's one of those things where it's an issue that everybody deals with, that, you know, is important to everybody, whether they recognize it or not, whether they consider themselves planners or, you know, whether they're focused or not. It impacts everybody, and the Bible has so much to say on money. People, often would say, well, what is the church even talking about money? And it's like, well, the Bible does. It talks about it more, actually, than any other subject. If you take it cumulatively through the whole Bible, it's you can't get away from it. And the reason is because money is incredibly powerful to our hearts. It has a pull on our hearts. What we do with it has a pull on our hearts. And so really, it's about our hearts, and God wants us to live a life that's blessed, a life that is joyful, and He knows that, and how we handle our money has a lot to do with how that life's going to be lived out and enjoyed.
Right. Now, it's a tricky thing. We, you know, I always deal with it, of course, in a secular basis, and I think it still spills out some of the principles of the Bible, but it still is something that couples, it's number one or number two reason that they fight. And we have obviously an epidemic of divorces in this country, both from Christians and non. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to matter statistically at all. And so we're not getting this right, are we?
Yeah, that's, I would say, across the board, you know, whether you're a church person or an unchurched person, we stink at how to handle money. And it is impacting absolutely every area of our lives.
Does. We had, you know, and so that's why I really wanted to talk about this, too, because this isn't really a topic at all that is geared towards, if you will, like you say, churched or is it non-churched? It's everybody messes this up. You have a lot of practical things in here that would have nothing to do with, you know, how even giving your money away. But you can't give money away. You can't be generous. You can't be generous in time if you don't have time. If you don't have margin in your life, if you don't have excess finances, you can't be generous financially either, can you?
Yeah, no, that's really, you know, the thrust of the book. I think for most people, if they think about generosity, I mean, there's one, the fear of, you know, can I be generous? What happens to me if I'm a giver? But I think for a lot of people, there is some desire to do good with money. You see something, every one of us has a pull, and there are so many things that are worth giving to. I mean, and this is, you know, again, wherever you are, whatever your religious persuasion or lack of religious persuasion, there's something that grabs your heart. There's some disaster that you see that you think, man, I would love to help relieve that. You know, there's adoption that you see, and you're like, man, I'd love to participate in that. The sex trafficking issue that we're seeing just pop up everywhere and really dominate our culture, to people would say, man, if I could make a difference in somebody's life, well, I would love to do that. But the reality is that the way that we handle our money is preventing us from being able to. We just keep saying, well, I would love to do that, but I can't. I don't have any extra right now. And so the book's really about, well, how do we change things around to where we actually center our finances in such a way that we can be generous instead of basing it on consumption, which is, I think, how most of us are wired and what we think is the reason I earn money, the reason I save is so I can spend it on me and enjoy it for me, and to shift that and say, okay, what if I did what I did in such a way and, you know, earned and saved and worked and all of those things so that when those opportunities arise, that something grabs my heart, there's something I can do about it instead of just regretting that I've put myself in a position where I can't help.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to spin that around, too, because it's getting money right is so super important, even if you don't think of it in any kind of a spiritual sense. You don't care what your spouse or your future spouse thinks about money, which of course is absurd. That's absurdly saying none of that stuff matters. It all matters.
Yes.
But coming back to just a pure selfish thing, which is what we often think of money as, if you don't get it right, you can't do anything long term about your own freedom. You are going to be a slave to paying the bills. You're going to be a slave to whatever job you can find and never have an opportunity to step out, go out on your own business, go do your own thing, take a break from what it is you're doing and go. You can't ever have that kind of freedom.
Yeah, I've said and I've said in the book, you know, most people live in debt, right? We're in debt as a culture, and that is bondage. That's the Bible says the borrower's the lender's slave. Like you are a slave to Visa, to Toyota, to whoever you owe, you're a slave to them. And the reality is, I don't have options if I'm in debt. And that's true. Again, take whatever your goals are. I don't have it. Maybe generosity is not your goal, but whatever it is that you'd say, man, I don't have options when I'm in debt. But when there's money in the bank, when you've turned that around, it is freedom. You have options to do whatever it is that you want to do. And those can be, again, for yourself, for your family, for others, whatever those goals are. When you're in debt, when everything's allocated out, there is no freedom. There are no options. But when there's money in the bank, when you've got you got stocks that you can liquidate, you have options, and that's great freedom.
It really is. So it is. It's a lot. Getting money right is about being free, isn't it? It's free. In your case, when you're talking about in a spiritual sense, it's freedom of your heart is in the right place. In a pure secular sense, you might say, I have freedom to go do the things I want to do later on.
Yep, absolutely.
But it's always a choice, isn't it? It's a choice of today. Do we live for right this second and go with whatever impulse we have right now? Because any decision we make today is going to be a choice that we've made. I would rather go get drinks with the boys than to have a college education for my kid. That is literally the choices people make. They just don't want to ever, nobody would ever make that choice.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I'm not a jerk. That's not me. I get that, but that's the beginning of understanding what our choices really are, where our heart is, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, that idea of, man, when we spend it, it's gone. When we spend it, it's it. There's one of the, I think, key principles in the book that really helped people. And again, I would say, whatever your goals are, I talk about rounding down, taking the opportunity to round down every time you spend, because every time you spend is an opportunity to spend less.
Yeah.
And to think, okay, well, I got, things are so tight, and it's like, could you spend a little bit less, when you're going out to eat? Could you spend a little bit less when you need to buy that car? Could you spend a little bit less on vacation? Our culture is all about round up. I can afford that. I think we can afford that. Yeah, a little bit more a month, a little bit more this. It's only, a few bucks here. And you add all that up, and it's a lot. And so to think, man, how could I spend less on these little things that don't matter? And certainly in comparison to college education, where you go out to dinner, it really doesn't matter, right? I mean, you compare those two, there's no comparison,
right.
And yet the choice is on.
It's top ramen at home when you think about it, right?
Yeah,
I'm going to jip my kid out of it. No, right?
Yeah. But that's, if we're not putting away what we should for college education, but we're living it up, going out to eat all the time, that's exactly what we're doing.
We don't stop to really recognize everything's a choice.
Yeah, and spending. Taking the opportunity to spend less. My daughter asked the other day, we live right behind Target, and she asked, hey, can I go to Target? And she had some spending money, and I said, you can't absolutely just leave your money at home. And she said, why? And I said, well, if you go over there, if there's something you really want, you can walk back home and get your money. And but my guess is there are going to be things that you're going to go, but I don't want to come back for it. And that's like, you didn't really need that in the first place then. And
it's pretty good.
Maybe
us adults could not take our credit cards when we go supposedly window shopping.
That's right. Go to the mall without anything in your wallet. And if there's that deal that's so great, ask them to hold it for you. Go home and get your stuff and come back and buy it.
Wow, I think your expenses might go down pretty instantly. Pretty instantly. That's for sure. Hey, you started this book. I want to, I think with quite the challenge to people here, and I thought that was very interesting. You just start off with a quote: "I will do whatever it takes to be as generous as possible with the money that God has entrusted to me." Wow. Now, when you stop and you think about that, that's quite a challenge, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely contrary to what. How we live and how we're wired. I mean, we look at what our goals are and the things that we say, you know, we'll do whatever it takes to get that next thing, right? Or to, I mean, we'll put ourselves in to credit card debt at ridiculous interest rates to have something that we know is going to decrease in value immediately. You know, we'll borrow to get these things that don't matter. And when, you know, we would say, well, but then, you know, with generosity, well, you know, I'll get to it. And it's like, what if we said, no, I'm going to be that, you know, persistent, that driven, but to be generous, to bless other people. And I think, and this is something, whether you're a religious person or not, to say, you know, do you really think with all of the need in the world that what you have, that however you got it, you know, maybe credit God for that, but whatever it is, your hard work, whatever, however it is that you got what you got, that it is best used if it's all just consumed by you. You know, I think with so many needs in the world, with so many other people who are hurting and struggling, there's better things we can do than just consume it.
It's true. But I think it's also, you know, what you're saying, of course. But when you also put it, let me just flip that over for a second here, because when we come back from this break, I want to talk about this a little bit. So if we flip that over and say, really, whatever you have and what I have collectively, even all of, you know, the whole church, it can't solve the problems in the world. It won't solve the problems. They're here for good. Isn't giving really about you? Not so much fixing everything.
Yeah, I think it's a both and. You know, you can make a difference in a life.
At least
life.
On a life.
In
no,
a
right.
life, right.
But a big difference
a big
in
difference
your life.
Is, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, we do have to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about that. And I also want to talk about fear and why, you know, fear is huge in money and it is huge in giving.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome to the special edition of Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzel, of course, and I'm here with Paul Hatfield. Paul Hatfield is the pastor of The Pursuit. And also, I think you should give your website here, but he's also the author of The Generosity Revolution, which is, I found it a very interesting read. It's very practical in its application, but it also was challenging. It's challenging. There's no question
yeah.
about that. So if you don't want to be challenged, don't read the book because it'll challenge you.
That's right.
I don't care who you are or how you think you have it right. I think I've got a lot of the money concepts right, but I was challenged in a lot of ways. I'll tell you one thing it did. I realized you talked about rounding down in our consumption, but one of the chapters you talk about in here is rounding up in your tipping.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that tipping's a hard one. Though.
That's right.
I'm a little better tipper than I was, thanks
right.
to you. So, anyway, we were talking about at the break, Paul. We were talking a little bit about what this does to the giver, and I don't just mean like you're living radically generous, but even the whole process over the years of giving to anything changes our hearts, doesn't it? I mean, it's a big deal for the giver, not just, you know, oh, now I'm so super generous, this person now can get a meal or whatever.
Yeah, I think, you know, we look at the needs that are out there and definitely, you know, a lot of our giving is need driven and that it pulls at us. But the reality is that when we give, I mean, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that, you know, what he means by that is, look, if you put your money toward something, your heart's going to be drawn there. And great illustration for your listeners for sure is you can find a company that you've never heard about, know nothing about, read an article about them that shows promise and you invest in them. How much do you care about that company now that you hadn't heard of yesterday? It's like,
right.
I've invested there. And so, you know, when you think of your giving and your heart following your money as you give to whatever it is, you know, whatever, whether it's just a person, an organization, a church, that your heart is going to move toward people and is gonna move toward people, and you're gonna have more compassion for people because you're putting your money there.
No doubt about that. I noticed you closed the book, however, with "Can I ever spend money on myself?"
That's right.
So can you?
Yeah, it's you know, and there, you know, people go both ways, and I think you can find again certainly religious people in religious circles that would say, you know, there's no, you know, you just live poor, you know, with so much need in the world, how could you enjoy anything when there are so many people that are hurting, there are so many other things you can do. And I really believe this is, you know, this is a challenging area for people. I think most of us don't have a problem, you know, with not being willing to spend enough on ourselves.
Yeah.
Most of us go the other way, but it is, you know, I tell the illustration, if I gave my son, you know, and said, hey, it's your birthday and here's whatever, $50 for your birthday. And he said, well, that's great. I can't keep that. I want to give it to this person over here. And you're like, oh, that's cute. You know, what a generous little heart. Because you did that, I'm going to give you, you know, another $50. And they're like, well, I want to give that away. And you're like, okay, well, you know, here's, and everything they give, they like feel almost this guilt and shame of, I don't deserve this, or I can't keep this when there's so much need. At some point I'd go, man, there's something wrong that my son can't accept a gift from me and keep a gift, but he feels like he has to pass that gift on. And,
right.
And I, you know, the Bible teaches that what God gives us, you know, it's a gift that he blesses us. He loves to give to his children. And so, you know, when we have the opportunity and we're blessed that we can enjoy some of what God gives us, I believe that is appropriate, and he loves seeing us enjoy his gifts.
Yeah, so it's breaking it both ways, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've, you know, talked with people. I deal with people with, you know, maybe smaller budgets sometimes, and people setting up their budgets. And I mean, even for me, honestly, like, you set up the budget ahead of time and you give. I mean, we give first, and we try to give generously a healthy percentage first, you know, and then we save, and then we have what we feel is okay for us to live on, which is right based on what our needs are. We have five kids, and, you know, what those needs are, we live on that, and we are not to feel guilty about spending that money that we prayed about it. You know, we set what we thought was a responsible budget, and then, man, we can enjoy those things. Now, sometimes can we take a little bit of our spending money and give it to meeting need? Absolutely. We do that a lot, but we don't live, you know, like in this fear mode of, well, am I now doing, is it enough? Am I giving enough? You know, spending money on your family, taking my wife on a cruise, I figured out it's a very good use of God's money.
Yeah.
You know, investing in our marriage, I mean, spending money on the kids, letting them see things, family vacations, you know, those types of things. Like, I mean, at the end of your life, actually, my dad shared with me, and I never felt gypped or ripped off growing up. My parents were very generous. My dad passed away several years ago, but I remember him sharing with me that he regretted not doing enough recreation with our family, not creating enough, he said it, creating enough memories for the kids as a family. And it's like, you know, I mean, those opportunities, and not to just say, well, then travel's what it needs to be about, and because it doesn't have to be, you know, these huge expenses, but to say, like, man, if you're so concerned about saving money and being generous that you don't take time to enjoy your family, you don't take time to invest in your marriage, you don't create those opportunities for your kids to see, wow, God's good and God's blessed us, then I think, you know, I think you're missing out, and maybe you need to swing the pendulum back the other way and say, maybe I need to round up on our spending a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because all I'm doing is just sitting on these accounts and looking at my account balances and thinking that's where life is, and life isn't found in our possessions, whether they're you know, whether that's just money in the bank or cars that we drive, that's not where life is.
Right, right. It's not, but it's okay. But at the same time, oftentimes, and I don't think my perspective on this is remotely unique, that people do, and you touched on this, that people oftentimes in churches judge those that have a good lifestyle aren't doing their part.
Yes.
They should be more buttoned down, that they're... And yet they have no idea, do they?
Yeah, we're quick to
judge others, including in churches. We judge others.
Yeah, absolutely.
As you tell us to quit judging.
You know, we actually in a series right now, sermon series right now, talking about this issue that we have, where we're. I mean, God gave us the principles, and God leads us in our hearts to know how we're called to handle the money He's entrusted to us. Not to take those how we live and then try to put that. I mean, that's what religion has done forever, right? And people in whatever church saying, well, I think this, and so therefore it should be true of everybody else. And, it is our responsibility, it's my responsibility to handle the money that God's entrusted to me in the way that I think He's calling me to, without judging other people, without feeling like, wow, I can't believe they went there. I can't believe they drive that. And look what they could have done with that money instead of we can drive ourselves crazy with that. It doesn't do us any good. It certainly doesn't do our relationships any good.
Mm-hmm.
If we're worrying about what everybody else does with their money all the time, instead of focusing on what we're called to do as individuals.
I feel like there are so many people, both in the church and out of the church. But one of the things that I'm frustrated with is the people in the church living fearfully. You know, they want to build bunkers, and they want to go get generators, and all they do is they get on and blog about that. You know, Obama's this and Obama's that, and he's going to destroy the world, and all these things. And it's not that we shouldn't be aware of what's going on in the world. We should be involved politically, but why are we living in so much fear when really we're taught don't do that?
Yeah, it's. Honestly, for me, I think it's just losing sight of who's in charge, really. You know, who's really in charge. And I mean, if we believe that God is the ruler over the earth, then that there's a lot of security that comes in that. And it's no longer, my security is no longer in what I have and what I do. I mean, my security is, it's really regardless of what I do and how my money goes. I know that somebody else is in charge and somebody's got it under control, and so we can live in freedom in that, and we don't have to obsess with worry about what might happen when, you know, we have security in a relationship with God.
You know, it is still, living in fear is absurd. It's joyless. It's terrible.
Yes.
It's just a dead heart.
Yeah. There's no.
It just makes no sense to me.
There's no good that comes from that. Whether it's preventing us from, you know, investing and growing, whether it's preventing us from giving, you know, whatever it is. Just, studies, it's really bad for your health, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the stress of that. God certainly did not design us to live that way.
That's right.
And we find out that out if we do live that way, it ruins a lot of things.
Yes, it does. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up here with Paul Hatfield, the author of The Generosity Revolution and the pastor of The Pursuit. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. I'm Dave Pezzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Dave Pezzo, and I'm here with Paul Hatfield, who is the pastor of The Pursuit, which I haven't mentioned before, but I've got to get this out there, because you've got such a great website. I mean, there's so many tools out there for people, different series that you've done over the years, teaching, preaching, if you will. But you have a little different style. Some of it is pretty open, where you share your dramas and issues pretty openly.
Yeah.
But anyway, and that was probably the biggest one I remember is the Broken series, right? Wasn't that the...
Yeah, my wife and I shared kind of our journey, really the most explosive times of growth at the Pursuit. 4 years of exploding growth were the most explosive times at home in our marriage. And I can actually remember getting ready. My wife and I sat up on the platform together and shared our story, and yep. It was a shock to people. I remember just opening the door for her when we were getting ready, like, are you ready for this? Like, taking a deep breath, because it's like, wow, people are now going to know that we're just like
your
them.
Dark seat. Yeah.
We're just like them. We struggled, too, and we battled some really hard things, and just continue to try to be real, real people, and present who we are, and not try to make people think, man, I'm so great. I don't ask people to call me Pastor Paul. I'm just Paul.
Yeah.
I'm just a guy who's been called into a role, and so yeah, it's a pretty awesome opportunity we have.
Well, it's pretty amazing, and yes, you guys did open up a lot.
So. Yeah, that's for sure.
You did. That was very courageous. But the reason you're here today is to talk about the Generosity Revolution and the book you wrote, which I also want to say, look, we're not here to promote the book, but I think it's a great book. I think people should think about it. And the reason is because this isn't easy. It's not easy to get money right.
Yeah.
You think you have it right. You think you've read about it. I think I'm pretty right. And I'm still challenged. And I have to have this up and think about it from time to time and think about it. When I this tightwad, I've kind of reached in. Okay, give them $2 instead of $1.
That's right.
So there's different things for different people.
Yeah.
Some people try to show off their money. It's just that balance we're trying to find.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but anyway, all the proceeds from this book go back to the church, not to you.
Yeah, just didn't really feel like I felt like it was a message that God gave me while pastoring at the Pursuit, that it's been tested on the people at the Pursuit.
That's right.
As we've talked about these things, and the Pursuit pays me and my wife works, and we didn't feel like we needed to try to increase what we had through the book, but just so there was absolute clarity on why we're getting the message out there is because we believe that it's a message worth getting out there, not because I think we need to expand our personal resources.
I want to talk a little bit about this and how people, if you will, I heard a sermon years ago, actually a couple different ones, and I wanted to kind of get your feedback on this too, that some of the greediest people in the world have little resources. They spend all their time thinking about, if only I'd win the lottery. And I thought about that, and I thought, because we always perceive that the wealthy are greedy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very interesting twist, and I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think, greed is not so much about what we have. It's about the condition of our heart. And so this, it's the people who have the desire for more, and this desire to have what we don't have. And, I've described contentment, or you could even just saying, what's rich in your mind? What's being rich? And it would be, I think we could describe it as saying, being rich or having arrived financially would be that I have the money to buy anything that I really, really want.
Right.
And there's, two ways for that to be true. One is to change your income and the amount of money you have. The other is to change what you want. 'Cause if I'm content, then, and I have everything that I really, really want, then I'm rich, and it's a condition of my heart. And so I think, yeah, the people who live thinking, man, I wish I had, I want, and this desire that they have, even if they don't have the resources, even if they, don't have the money. And I would say for those of you who are Christians who follow Jesus, I would go, well, if that's your motivation, why would God why would God bless you? Why would God give you more if your desire is just to get stuff? If that's what drives it, and I think if you can say, you know, I'm content with what I have. Just had this thought, you know, when I go up to the mountains and see the Sawtooth Mountains, you know, I can appreciate the Sawtooths without wanting to own them, right? without thinking, well, I want
to possess
this. I want to possess this. I want to take this. I want to, you know, take this home with me. It's like, well, that's ridiculous, you know. Well, why can't we learn to appreciate other things? You know, why can't we see a car drive by and go, wow, that's really an awesome car without there being me, but I want it.
So we've got a few minutes left, and I said I had a couple little sermons, so, you know, there are things that I remember kind of along these lines, right? Again, I know they speak to the contentment issue, but that really is what money is about, isn't it? It's or how we try to find that balance of being content. But this idea that the people who are a little greedy with money are the people, you know, our household makes 70,000, well, those would be the people that are making more than 100. For the people that are making 120, it's obviously the people that are making 200 and 400. And if I can speak on it, almost, I don't want to drive this into a political sense, but we see this division in this country, this idea of a 1% and a 99. So if you have, then we should just take? Or do we? Anyway, I think it's a big question of how we feel or judge others.
Yeah we always, it's easy to find somebody and talk about comparison. It's easy to find, and we like to compare ourselves to people who are doing better than us.
Right.
You know.
Perceived better than us.
Perceived. At least they appear to be. Where, you know, maybe a good challenge is, well, let's compare ourselves to the rest of the world. You know, let's go visit. I adopted two kids from the Congo.
Yeah.
You know, go visit the Congo. I don't care what you have in this country. When, you know, my kids talk about they were cold at night because they didn't have a blanket. You know, they didn't have that. They didn't have much food, you know, where they were. And you look at that and go, you know, no matter how bad we have it, we're doing really well. We're very blessed to live in the country that we're in, and our problems, you know, are small compared to what other people are dealing with. We have the opportunity to lose more money, you know. I mean, you can get bummed about losing money. It's like you realize you lost more than some people, than most people in the world would ever even have. We're very blessed, and I think should live like we're blessed, and to be able to be a blessing to others.
Right, right. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Is to be thinking of how to be more generous. But that just serves to say, let's put money in its rightful place, doesn't it?
Yeah, money is a great tool. I mean, it's something, working is a privilege. It's not a burden. That's not a curse.
No.
That's a twist from the Bible. You know, believe in creation. As the Bible says, that we're given the opportunity to work. It's a blessing to work. And so you go work hard, earn the money, and then do right with it. Do good with it. And that's caring for others, caring for yourself.
Yeah. Paul Hatfield, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's been an honor. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's great. And if you want more information about The Pursuit, about Paul's thoughts, shoot him an email over at thepursuit.org. Also, there's lots of other, really, it's a very vibrant website, and lots of tools if you have different things you wanted to look into. So check it out, thepursuit.org. Thanks again, Paul.
Yeah, thank you.